Welcome to the Writer's Well, conversations about craft and wellness. Let me read it.
No, you need to read it.
Our conversation about writing from craft and wellness. All right, I'll just read it. All right. Welcome to the Writer's Well podcast, conversations about writing from craft to wellness with Rachel Herron and Jay Thorne. And hell, I'm Zach Bohannon. How are y'all doing today?
We're good. And I honestly think, Jay, that you should not edit that.
No, let's just know. That was it. It totally sounded like I was reading off your
Zach
phone.
Knows that whenever we sit down, it's all fair game. From start to finish, until I close the lid, it's fair game.
Silly things about that. Oh my gosh. So where are we, guys?
We're in your living
room. With your dogs. I'm going to put your dog in my lap, actually.
Little dozies. Come on, dozy. Zach's lap. We're hanging out in my living room
in Oakland, California.
Yep. And you guys just got done with being with the train people.
The Authors on a Train wrapped up, and we're both
literally a couple hours ago. Yeah,
we came right from the mansion in Oakland to your house in Oakland.
And some of your members drove you over here, so I got to meet Lon.
Shout out to Lon for the ride.
And see Yvette again, who I'd met before, and so cool.
Yeah.
But we're hanging out together.
We are.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a ton of fun, yeah.
Yeah, we decided that because we couldn't leave Zach out on the curb by himself, that we'd invite him onto the podcast today. Yeah.
Since we have 3/4 of the Jay Thorne Podcast Network here, we figured we would just go and do a...
JD's going to come out of the closet in a minute or two, and he's like, out of the bedroom, hey, JD, come on in here.
We should have Skyped him in.
Yeah, he would have, too. He would have been game for that.
Put him over there on the computer.
So, how was... I've been talking about it, but tell people how your trip was.
Oh, God, where do we even start?
It was amazing. I mean, we... obviously, you know, we met up with everybody in LA, and we had the train trip was gorgeous. Like, especially, you know, my previous experience in California was I spent like 1 weekend in Hollywood. So like,
basically
I'd never been to California.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, being in LA and then that the train trip up the coastline was just like one of the most beautiful things I've ever done. And then, you know, we get to your neck of the woods here, and we have this awesome big house, which was kind of like, we weren't really sure,
we hadn't been inside it, and we were showing up with our people at the same time.
We had 12 people with us who were just on a train. And
that's actually really the beginning of a horror novel.
That came up a few times.
The whole weekend really could have been a reality TV show. Like, 14 authors under the same roof of this like haunted house, and... but it was really magical. I mean, everyone really bonded, and we had such a great weekend. I don't know. It's so much stuff happened that it's just kind of, it's still processing, you know?
And it was a total of like 4 days altogether, right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
Sunday.
Yeah,
it was Thursday morning till Sunday morning.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just been,
that's intense.
Yeah. Been awesome though. Yeah. But it's been awesome. Like, and obviously being under the same roof with everybody, which is different for us. And, you know, you never know with writers, introverts, all stuff can go, but it was like, it was totally cool. We had such a good time.
And Jay, you were saying that you're okay.
I am. I feel so good right now. I don't feel drained. I don't feel tired. And you know, and we heard from other pretty hardcore introverts who said the same thing. Like, yeah, you know, this is great. And it was being under one roof was just a whole different experience.
That's
and that was so new
great.
To us.
And it was interesting because... Yeah, we're usually pretty drained after these events, especially you. I mean, as you are really open with, and you know, that's I don't really feel like we taught more than we normally do or anything, but we were around everybody more, and so not to be drained, it was just like, it's really awesome, you know.
There is something about being around other writers, and especially around other writers who are introverts, though. It is easier.
Yeah.
Like, you can just fit it. Do you know what happened? I am taking. Have you heard of Becca Syme?
Oh, yeah.
I'm taking her class.
Yes.
I put the money down. I'm doing this class, and it's about learning your types and learning who you are and how to write better and more productively by knowing who you are. And I am now no longer an ENFJ. I'm an INFJ.
Really?
Because I've slipped from the border of extroverted to the border of introvert. I'm still right on the... There's no A for ambivert. But she reminded us that INFJ, which is intuitive, INFJs, introverted, intuitive,
feeling,
judging.
Yes.
On the Myers-Briggs, it's the least used one.
Yeah.
What's the word for that?
The most rare.
Yeah, least but common. Writers really tend to be INFJ. There were tons of INFJs in
I am TJs as well. That's what I am. And
oh, I thought you were an INFJ.
No, I'm a TJ. Yeah. And the only people I've met who are INTJs are writers. I've never met anyone who was an INTJ and wasn't a writer.
Fascinating. Yeah, so that's really cool. But yeah, I understand the introversion thing.
Yeah.
And now you guys are here hanging out with me.
Yeah, and your dogs.
Dogs on a lap.
Yeah. From Authors Not Trained to Dogs on a Lap. Right? So, yeah, but yeah, this is awesome. So, and I'm glad to be on your show.
Yeah.
Oh, we're glad to have you in person.
So can I ask you a question? Are we there yet?
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to, we're bypassing comments and stuff because you know, you were in Pittsburgh and just got back and we're obviously not at home. So we'll catch up with our patrons and our commenters next episode. So yeah, for this one, we'll go right to the question.
Zach is going
to
ask us a question.
Well, he read the intro. Well, he tried to read the intro. So he gets to ask the question.
It's better than like the one of the last career authors where I call myself Jay Thorne. Remember that? And I legit did it.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, I legit did it and didn't. It wasn't a joke. I've done it as a joke, but it was legit. But anyways, well, listen. So we're, you know, I don't know. I was thinking, you know, it's so cool to be here and just, you know, you and I have this connection because of him and just, but we're all like just buds, you know, it's like we're brothers and sisters here. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about the different events we've been doing. We've been talking, you know, the last a couple hours and about Authors on Train stuff. And I don't know, just like this whole thing of community has been really kind of like a recurring theme. And I'm just curious, I guess my question is like, what kind of value do you guys put in the community? I know that's really open-ended, but...
What kind of value do we put in community? That's huge.
Like, what does community mean to you?
That's a good place to start, unless you have an idea. I'll be perfectly honest. As if I'm not.
Yeah, as if you're not going to be, yeah.
As if I'm not going to speak my mind. I really didn't care about author communities 10 years ago when I started this. What I cared about was I wanted the opportunity to tell stories and impact lives, which had nothing to do with community. And in fact, I intentionally avoided community. Like I was not on K-boards. I was not like participating in Facebook groups. Like that was not my jam. Like I did not want that. And I think what's really changed for me is since we started doing Authors on the Train and started hosting these events, that I've come 180 degrees. And I feel like now it's what I look forward to the most. Like if our calendar year and like the events that we're doing, like getting together and creating and fostering and feeding this community is what lights me up. And that wasn't the case 10 years ago. So I think I want to be honest and say that, like, it's not, if you're really introverted or you want to do things on your own, becoming part of a community isn't easy, but it's worth it.
I want to expand on that question. How does it affect your writing as well?
Well, I think it's...
Oh my God, there's so many animals around here, you guys. There's like circled by animals.
You're just pushing them off the back of the couch.
Animals falling.
Well, I think what it's done is it's helped me understand where my real purpose is, you know? And I think it's been moving more towards the nonfiction writing. That the nonfiction writing that I'm doing and the things that are related to that are the things that are making the biggest difference in people's lives. And I think that's, you know, I have that responsibility and it's something I really enjoy doing. And I think for the longest time, I turned my back on communities because I was a fiction writer and fiction writers don't need communities.
Yeah.
They just do their own thing. And I'm still writing fiction, but like, I think that's how it's really affected me.
And that's such a surprise. You would never have seen that coming.
No, I couldn't have anticipated that.
And as your business partner, I can say that without the community we've fostered, you wouldn't have realized it, I don't think.
No.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't.
The value that you have doing the teaching and stuff. So.
Yeah. But, and also, I mean, community can be as small as two people. Like you are it absolutely part of the community, can, yeah. But just the two of you
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's interesting is that I was kind of the same way. So this is 2020 now, and I wrote my first novel in NaNoWriMo in 2006, so it's been 14 years, and I did that completely, like NaNoWriMo formed a community around me, but I didn't really participate in it. I went to one write-in, I felt really weird, and I ran away, and then I wrote this novel and revised it and got an agent, you know, over a year and a half's worth of work, and I did everything by myself. And I had never been to any kind of writer's group, any kind of writer's meeting. I didn't go to my first RWA meeting until after I got my agent, because I thought I should join it. And then I learned that most people join Romance Writers of America to learn how to write books, yeah, instead of the other way around. And, you know, we should just say right here, fuck RWA.
I figured that would come up, yeah, at some point. Talk about community, yeah.
Well, you know what? Honestly, like, RWA at the top level, speaking of community, has fallen apart. And right now, as it stands, there really is no RWA. We don't know what's going to happen to it. There's not enough. There's not even enough board to form a quorum to get an executive director or a president-elect, which may change in the next 6 hours. So when this goes live, everything might have changed. But speaking of community, so I went to my RWA chapter yesterday. I'm on the board of San Francisco. It was an intense conversation. It was probably like a 3 or 4 hour meeting.
Wow.
The first hour was just for marginalized authors to talk to us, the board, and it was led by a diversity, equity, and inclusion expert. It was really well done. We learned so much, and then we had a conversation with the entire membership, and we realized, like, our community is our community. Our community in San Francisco is diverse and inclusive and welcoming and has shit that it needs to get better at and things that we need to do more right. So we learned a lot, and it was just this really wonderful, affirming day of, you know, fuck national. This group of authors, even though I don't write romance anymore, they're my community, they're my people, and no matter what, we're going to move forward. And kind of what we came away with yesterday was, no decisions are made, but basically we're going to watch authors of color and see where they go, and we will joyfully follow them. And if that means rebuilding RWA, we'll do that. If it means doing something else, we'll do that. But the community didn't change. The support was still there. And I just think that's an amazing thing. And, like, we're having it right now. We're having three of us in my living room talking. This is our writing community. Yeah. This is what it's about. And this is what catches us when we need catching.
I want to have you answer, but I want to come back to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to put a pin in that. Okay. But what about for you?
You know, like, it's funny. Like, I was kind of like you when I mean, I guess not. Like, I think I should say I was the opposite of you. I think I kind of seeked out community a little bit, like, when I first started. And, you know, that's how we met, because I, you know, you had your podcast, and I really seeked out, and I was, like, looking for friends and stuff who were on there. And I've found a lot of value in it, but I'm finding more, like, I think for a long time, I felt like I needed the community for, like, a lot of the wrong reasons. And I thought being in, like, bigger, you know, like, the Facebook groups and stuff was really good. But now it's more just, like, you were saying, you know, like, community can be two people. Like, just having, like, a smaller amount of people that I'm close to as authors, but, like, but I'm much closer to them, you know? And also, you know, something that you and I talk about, like, and, you know, you experience with your writer groups and stuff, is that face-to-face interaction, I think, is so, like, I find more value in that than, like, just having, like, these online groups and stuff, which are great and work for in their own way. But I think, like, having groups of people that you interact with, whether it's on a regular basis locally, or you go to events like ours and meet up with people, or you just have a partner like you and I who get to have that face-to-face interaction, to me, like, that's the type of stuff I really have found value in. The small group interactions where, you know, you're bouncing ideas off of each other and stuff, and whether it's from marketing or publishing or craft stuff, and that's where I've really found the value in just... just feel like I wouldn't be the writer and at the place of my career without a lot of that stuff. So
That's perfect, because that's what I was going to talk about.
Awesome.
I
know you too well.
I was going to say, like, that I think the reason why I feel so strongly about community now is that, especially you and I, but I know you're in the same boat, we've defined it as real community, face-to-face in real life. And it doesn't mean there can't be digital or online components to it, but that's not all it is. And shout out to my buddy Ira, who I met in LA. Ira and I were having coffee, and we've Zoomed, like, dozens of times for different things. And he works in video, and he said, like, it's just different. It's two-dimensional versus three-dimensional. And even though you're looking at someone on the screen, when you're in their presence in real life, it's different. And it's so true.
You're sharing the same space, the same air.
Yep.
You get to see all contours of their head and body and not just like
it's just different.
Flat.
Yeah.
Well, that leads me to something that, oh my God, Jay's going to get stabbed by a cat. Doesn't it seem like we have five cats? Six cats? We only have two, and they're just swirling like sharks. But you guys mentioned something that your writing group did before, or no, your writing group, your writers on a train group did before you even got together. What did they do?
That they had kind of gotten to know each other over several months. Some did already know each other, but then
in a Slack group
through the Slack group, we kind of, and when they got to, we all met in LA for the train trip. And, normally I think what normally happens is most people just kind of get their own place. They spend out by themselves and then they get on the train, then they meet everybody. Well, like most of the group, I think it was seven or eight of them, got an Airbnb together and immediately started the trip staying together and immediately started that in-person bonding. And all of them said, like, we're so glad we did that and that we didn't just wait and meet on the train and we just started that whole bonding in person early.
Wow.
Yeah.
And my groups that go with me, like, to Venice this year, I'm not doing Venice. I'm doing Barcelona because I wanted a change. And six or seven of them, like I was telling you guys, are meeting in Venice before Barcelona because they're renting a big place and staying there for a few days before they go to Barcelona. Because the really cool thing I think that we do, the three of us, is we create places for community.
Yeah.
And to be made, to be built. And like this podcast is one of them. And that is not the face-to-face thing. But I think it can be almost as valuable, just the people who listen to us and get to know us and like us and are doing their writing with our voices in their heads. You know, we do that with the people that we listen to and connect with.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
I think too, when you're in face to face, there's also a vulnerability there that like you can't it's so much harder to bullshit people when you're face to face. And like I, you know, there a few years ago there was talk about like, well, now that video conferencing is a thing, like business people won't fly to meetings because they won't have to. And like, yeah, technically they don't have to, but I can. There's a different feel when you're there and in person. And even though it logically doesn't make sense, financially it doesn't make sense to go there, there still will be people flying to cities for business meetings for this very reason.
And I think you're on something, Rachel, where you know talking about it still obviously can be valuable online. And one thing, too, is you know we talked about one of our attendees, Mary, who ran into us, and
Mary.
You know she said, I think for her part of it was, she was like a little nervous or whatever, but then like once she was around us, she's like, oh wait, I know these guys.
Yeah.
From the like I know those voices. Yeah. I know like from the pot. So like it's like it. So you can get a lot of value, obviously, from, you know, online, like getting to know each other through Slack groups. Like, even just listen to someone on a podcast. Like, that can, like, for you, from your end, make it feel like, oh, I already know these people. Like, so it just takes a lot of that weird and that awkwardness when you first meet somebody. Like, all the small talk and all that kind of stuff, like, kind of away. And
maybe that's what writers share, too, is that we don't have to do that small talk.
Yeah.
Our small talk is, what genre do you write? And then you're in. And then you're going.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, so I think they can really blend well together, though. For sure.
And Mary's awesome. I met her at a conference. And we were sitting, I think I was sitting by myself at breakfast and these two women asked me to join them. Like I was putting my plate down and said, do you want to sit with me? So I sat with them. And Mary and I just ended up having so much in common. She was a 911 dispatcher. Did you know that?
Yes.
For forever. Yeah. And we have a bunch of other stuff in common. And now she's a member of a bunch of my Slack groups. She's done my 90 Days to Done class. And now she's got all these friends that support her, and it's rad. It's so rad. It's so cool. But like Lala, my wife, just asked me last night. She goes, "How did you even meet Jay?" And I remembered that it was because you asked to be on the podcast, on my podcast, and I only said yes because I'd heard you on other podcasts.
Interesting. I don't remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you had heard me on Joanna's or Simon's. And
oh,
you said
it might have been
Simon's, and you reached out and said, "Hey, if you ever need a guest," and I had heard you talking on other podcasts, and I was telling her the story about like, and then we just were friends, you know, instantly.
Yeah.
So, but let's extrapolate it out to what's useful to the listener. I think is what we're always talking about is like, where do people find community if you live in rural Alaska. What do you do then?
Yeah. I think you have to think about it on two levels. I think you have to think about, you know, who's in your backyard, mm-hmm. and there's value in that community. But that's not enough, and I don't think that's necessarily the answer. I think if you're thinking about doing this and it's more than a hobby, you have aspirations of selling books or becoming a full-time author, I really think you need to work it as part of your budget. And yes. The same way you would editors, cover designers, formatters,
totally
you
agree.
Need to create an event budget. And even if it's like one a year or once every 2 years, and maybe it's only the next town over, but you need to start with that. Because we heard a number of times people saying like, yeah, you know, it's not an easy investment to go on Authors on a Train, but they already got, it already paid off. They've already got a return on their investment.
Before they even go.
Yeah, and they know, like, for years, like, things that they learned, connections that they made will benefit them for years. But you don't necessarily see, it's not a direct correlation. Like, you don't go to a conference and then the next Monday you're selling $400 more of books.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I think you have to start out slow, have a budget, decide, be very picky about which events you do, especially if you have a budget. But you have to start that. You have to start that process.
And I think that going to events, conferences, retreats, whatever it is especially important in the beginning.
Yes.
Once I noticed that a lot of writers, once they get 10, 15 years in and they've got a bunch of books, they go to fewer conferences. And I think that's because their community is built. And I'm always open to expanding that community, but I don't need to go to a major national event just to meet people now. I already know the people that I have in my corner, and I have a really healthy, wonderful community. But if you don't have a healthy, wonderful, big community, then it's worth it to spend the money to go to these
yes.
things. And we're not going to try to hard sell you on anything
no,
right
that's,
now because
yeah.
that's not us.
Yeah,
that's you know,
totally not
us. We've got nothing lined up.
We got nothing lined up. You
so.
Can't come.
yeah, you're exactly right. But I mean, yeah, just kind of because I talk about the career author all the time. Like, you know, especially as new authors, I think a lot of people are just like, and I understand some people have to bootstrap it, but like, this is a business, you know, and like, I'm the career author. I always make the correlation to my buddy David, who, you know, started his own coffee roasting business. And before he could even sell one coffee bean, he had to spend $25,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he had to bake a billion. He had to get a roaster. He had
yeah.
to do all this, get licenses. Like, we don't have to do that.
Right. You need a computer.
Yeah.
And an internet connection.
Yeah. So like, it, you know, and again, I understand some people have to bootstrap, but I think that working the type of things Jay was talking about into your budget, like, can be really, really important, you know? Or like, you know, it doesn't even have to be going to a conference or something. Like, maybe you've made friends with some authors online and you guys decide like, hey, let's find a place that's centralized to
yes.
all of us and go rent a cabin together or something.
Yes.
You know, so, and just like hang out, we'll write together, we'll talk about like our businesses and stuff. And you get together with like four people or something, people you've met online, you know. There's a lot of different ways to do it, but I do think that you need to make that investment, you know. And we look at editors, we look at book covers, like all this stuff that's really important. But I think that this type of investment is just as important.
I like the idea of the different ways of bootstrapping it too. Like, I always talk about bar conning things, and I have no shame in that. Just like going to the conference, not buying a ticket, and sitting in the bar, because that's where all the work happens. That's where all the meeting happens.
Yeah, I hear about that all the time. Like, and people
I've done
who
it.
Just
it's great.
Go to where the conference is and just like, you know.
And I'm still budgeting for conferences and events. I'm still
Me
attending.
Too. Well,
events,
I was going
right?
to attend RWA this year. They did an unofficial poll. Because it's here, it's in San Francisco. God damn it. We are not officially participating in it. My chapter and all the local chapters pulled out. We are not affiliated with the conference, the big national conference. We're not helping as we were supposed to, or, you know, as we had planned to. But there was an unofficial poll on Twitter, and 95% of the people polled who were planning on buying tickets are not going to buy a ticket.
Wow.
So now there's a lot of conversation community-wise about where do we want to put that money? Do we want to donate it to this literacy project that RWA has always supported? Do we want to do, you know, get our friends together and go to a different place? And, you know, but it's all about the community and who we know and who we care for. And it's also about cutting off the people that we don't care for, because there's so many awesome people. You don't have to stick around the ones that you don't love.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I'm the first person who, like, understands when it's time to, like, you know, let a relationship go. So I get it.
That's good. That's a talent.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. It's
I'm
like
pretty good at it too.
Yeah, it can be hard sometimes, but it's like I know when I've outgrown a certain relationship, you know. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And Jay, he has something to tell you.
Yeah. After we stop recording.
Yeah,
right.
That would make for it. No, that's terrible.
After I
I'm
fuck
not
up
even,
your outro.
Not even.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening to the Pedal the Metal podcast.
Well, let's have the listeners come to the podcast at thewriterswheel.org and leave us a comment on what their writing community looks like or what they want it to look like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would really
tell
like to
about
know.
It.
Yeah. Where did you find it? What is valuable? Or if you don't have one, how are you going to get one?
Well, thanks for having me on your podcast and in your house.
You're welcome,
with all your
boys.
Animals. And,
I know.
Yeah, I've been watching cat porn for the past 10 minutes.
It really is porn. They are brothers and they're fixed and they still make sweet, sweet love to each other by like biting
it's
each
other,
a lot
other,
of
licking.
A lot
of,
like, it's disgusting.
Didn't
it's really
you used
cute.
To bathe your brother like that?
Stop it.
With all the licking and cats, there's so many jokes there, but I won't do it.
Thank you. It's a lesbian household. It's old. They're tired jokes.
Yeah, you're
no
the
traction.
One that bought two cats, not me.
We're not editing
right.
this out.
Yeah,
we're off the rails to begin with, but now we're off the rails at the end. Perfect.
This is what happens when you get
Thank
friends
you for
together.
Being here, boys.
Thank you.
Awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
Talk soon.